men gonna have to put up with me this morning. Pistol. Yeah. He asked me one day last week, I guess. Said he wouldn't be here this morning. Won't know if I'd fill in. And again, I can't take his place. I'm not even trying to. But I hope the lesson will be a blessing to you this morning. Before I get into anything, first of all, I want to thank you men in this class, you know, for your support for my ministry up in King. You'll never know, as long as you live, you'll never know what it means to me. And believe me, it's a blessing. And I appreciate your support for that internet ministry. And then I want to say also, I've gotten a couple of cards, I don't know, in the last little while, from Beam's Bibles in honor of me, and I don't know why you'd want to honor me. I mean, Jesus gets it, but I appreciate that too. There's a lot of people would be more worthy of those Bibles in honor of them than would me, but I do appreciate it. So, you know, I want you to think I take that stuff for granted. If you would, open your Bible this morning, Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Yeah. We're going to look at scriptures that are familiar, and we probably read these scriptures a lot of times. In fact, if you read through the Bible, I know you're going to have to read them. And I never did think about a lot of this stuff until God showed it to me. I thought, well, you know, that I think it might help somebody today. It was a blessing to me when God showed me some things here in Genesis chapter 4. And I don't normally do this, but I'm going to read verses 1 through 16. I'm going to read that much of this chapter. And like I say, I don't normally do that, but I really believe it'll help us if I go ahead and read from 1 to verse 16. So Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And again she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the field. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. Well, he's having a little pity party there. Verse 6, And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Verse 8, And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. And that right there is a lesson within itself. But we'll go on. Verse 14, Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out in the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Now, I know that's a lot of reading there, and like I say, I don't normally take the time to read all that much, but by doing that, I think it'll fall into line what we're going to look at this morning. Father, thank you for this day, and thank you, God, for the privilege, Lord, to be back in Sunday school. And I thank you, Father, for the privilege, God, you've given me to teach a lesson this morning. And God, I realize, Father, as I know these men do, I could not teach anything apart from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So I pray, Father, right now, God, the Holy Spirit, get me out of the way, and may the Holy Spirit take over. And may I say, God, what would be pleasing to you, uplift the Lord Jesus and glorify your word. And I'll thank you and praise you for all you do, for asking in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. As we think about the numbers, what I want to teach on this morning is seven things that were said of Cain. There's seven things in those scriptures right there. And I never thought about it, never looked at it. I'd read them all and seen them all, but it never dawned on me. But there's seven things we want to look at this morning in these verses about Cain. But before I get into that, you think about the number seven. The number seven. Now, the number seven, as we think about it in God's, what does it mean? Now, I want you to listen to this. The number seven means completeness. In other words, when something is the number seven in God's timetable, it is complete. You don't add to it and you don't take from it. It's complete. It means spiritual perfection. Now, you know, I always thought that word spiritual perfection was everything was positive. It was spiritually perfect. It means spiritual perfection. But it can mean good or bad. For instance, you go over to Revelation and spiritual perfection, that's God's spiritual perfection. You look at the seven vials, the seven trumpets, the seven plagues and all, that's bad, that's bad, that's judgment. But it's still perfection, spiritual perfection from God. And they're all sevens. Seven plagues, seven vials, all that was sevens. But there's some good sevens. So seven means spiritual perfection. It can be good or bad. Not only does seven mean, it means entire. In other words, it's entire. You can't add or take from God's number seven in His timetable. It's entire. It is finished. And you look at the number seven and go in and look at the title of seven in the Bible and what ends in seven, it's finished as far as God's concerned. The number seven is finished. Now watch this one. It is perfect with no lacking. Number seven in God's timetable is perfect with no lacking. And when God's timetable, number seven, ends, it's over. And it could be good or bad according to the way God sees it in the Word of God. Now, quickly, let me say this. If you've got, and we find over here, and I won't get to it in just a minute, but God, He didn't want Cain's offering. But He accepted Abel's. God approved one and not the other. Now, you know, if you're a parent in here and you've got more than two kids, you've got two kids or more, they're all different. And a lot of times, I don't care if you've got 5,000 kids or you've got two, they're all different. And sometimes we don't approve of one of our children's decisions. And we may approve of the other ones. Well, this is what God did here. God said, Cain, I don't want what you got. He didn't want that. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. And this is just a quick introduction. And, you know, a lot of times parents are disappointed and they love their kids, but sometimes parents are disappointed the way their kids turn out. Some of them turn out right, some of them don't. God was disappointed in what Cain did. Yeah. Now, with these things in mind, we want to look at the situation today. The first thing we see that Cain did is found in verses 3 and 4. He worshipped in self-will. Verses 3 and 4. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. First thing we see that Cain done, the set of Cain, is he worshipped in self-will. Now, I want you to notice what he said. In that Cain brought the fruit of the ground and an offering to the Lord. You know what Cain done? Cain said, well, I'm going to give you my beans, taters, and corn. I'm going to give you what I got out of the garden. And basically what he was saying is, if you don't like it, Lord, that's what you're getting. I'm not changing. So he worshipped in self-will. He done what he wanted to do instead of what God wanted him to do. So basically that's what he was saying. Yeah, well, if you don't want that offering I got, my beans, taters, and corn, and what I worked for, and what I labored for, and what I sweated to raise, that's the way it is. You're not going to get it. That's basically what we're seeing. He worshipped in self-will. In other words, he done what he wanted to do, and not what God wanted him to do. He was doing what he would, in other words, it was his works. You know, that's the same thing a lot of people today are depending on for salvation, their works. And I was in a church for about 32 years of my life. Sheldon knows, he knows. I was tell you, I was in a Lutheran church. I thought I was going to heaven. Gary Blackman, Court Snyder come over to my house one night and I told him emphatically, I'm going to heaven. And I thought I was. I wasn't good and I knew I wasn't good. But I thought, by what I did, my works, I was going to heaven. Yeah, well, you know as well as I do, you ain't going to heaven, and nobody else is but what they do. Yeah, find out on Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace we're saved, through faith, and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So, see, Cain had it all backwards. He's saying, well, I'm going to get in. You're going to accept my offering because I did it. Wrong. We ain't going nowhere on our merits apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing we find here in verses 3 and 4 is he worships in self-will. All right, let's go on. In verses 5 and 6, he got angry with God. Look at that. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was what? He was very wroth. Cain wasn't just a little irritated. The Bible said Cain was very wroth. He was mad as a bull. Yeah. And his countenance fell. Oh, he was in a bad way. He was sulking. He was mad at God. In verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Well, you know, God knew exactly what it was. God knew what his problem was before he ever got into that situation. But I want you to look at something here. But unto Cain, he had offered, all right, let's go, and he had not respect. And Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. All right? Now, with that in mind, take your Bible and go to Proverbs chapter 14. I want you to watch something here. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, and let's look at verse number 17. Proverbs 14, and look at verse number 17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. What happened to Cain there? Cain got mad at God, and he just dealt foolishly. In other words, he said, well, if you don't want what I got, that's too bad. He didn't change. So Cain dealt foolishly with God when he got angry. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And you know as well as I do, and I've done it before, I've got mad at somebody or got angry about something, said something stupid or something foolish or done something stupid or foolish, and then wished I could go back and redo it, and I can't. That's what happened to Cain. Okay? Yeah. So he got angry with God. I'm going to tell you something, son. We got to get angry with God, and we don't have to verbally say it. If we get angry with God inside, God sees it. See, God knew he was mad at him. God knew he was wroth. He knew he didn't like what was going on. Yeah. But then I want you to notice in verse number 7, we see God's mercy. Verse 7, we see God's mercy. Yeah. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Yeah. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be this desire, and thou shalt be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. I see God's mercy in verse number 7. God said, now Cain, he said, if thou doest well, thou'll be accepted. In other words, he said, if you get rid of what you got and get me a blood offering and get me a lamb or something out of the flock and give me some blood and do what I want you to do, he said, I'll forgive you and everything will be fine. God said, basically, I'll forget what you said. I'll forget what you've done. He said, everything will be fine. God's mercy. See, God could have rubbed him out right there. So if you want to blow up and get mad, go ahead and do it. We told our kids that. Well, if you want to blow up and get mad, go in your room and sulk or whatever. But God didn't do that. See, God's merciful. So we see, he said, if you'll do what I ask you and do what your brother Abel done, I'll forgive you. He said, but if you don't do it, sin lieth at the door. But not only in verse number 7 do I see God's grace, but I also see and not only God's grace in verse number 7. He said, if thou doest well, not be accepted, and if thou not do well, sin lieth at the door. I see disobedience. I see disobedience in Abel and rebellion. I mean, in Cain, God told him, he said, if you'll do that, I'll forgive you. He didn't do it. Cain didn't do what God told him to do or what God said, if you'll do it, you repent and do what I want you to do. He said, I'll forgive you. He didn't do it. So I see God's mercy, but I also see the fact that he didn't do what God wanted him to do. I see disobedience. That's the third thing he done. He disobeyed. He didn't listen. He didn't do what God asked him. He disobeyed. He didn't do what God asked him to do. And then I see the fourth thing and we see about Cain is in verse number 8. The fourth thing. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against his brother Abel and slew him. I see right there, the fourth thing is said of Abel, he killed his brother. Why? He was mad. He was mad as a hornet. He was mad at God. He was mad at Abel. He was mad at basically what was all around. The Bible said he was very wrong. So he wasn't in no good mood. He wasn't going to do what God asked him to do. So he just got mad at his brother Abel and slew him. That's the fourth thing he done. I don't think God's too pleased with that. I don't think God looked down and said, well now, I know you're mad and I know you're angry and I know you've got some problems there, so just cause you killed your brother, well, I'll forgive you. No, that ain't what he said. He said, if you don't do what I tell you, sin lies at the door. And then the fourth thing he done, he went and killed his brother Abel. It wasn't Abel's fault he didn't listen to God. It wasn't Abel's fault he didn't do what he told him to do. It was his own fault. So he just went out and the Bible said, and Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. No reason. He just out there, he just had vengeance on everything, everybody, he was mad. How many times do people today get mad at somebody and the first thing they want to do is kill them? You see it all the time on the news. And you know, a lot of this relates to today. He got mad, so he just shot 5 people. Well, she got mad, so she just went over there and killed 2 of her kids. I mean, you see it all the time. Same scenario today. It's just different today than it was first one. Boy, that first murder opened the door, and look what we got now. And it's been murders from then on, from that time on, and be until Jesus comes back. So he rose up and killed, he just got mad and killed his brother. So that was the fourth thing he done. Then the fifth thing he done, verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? He lied to God. That's right. He dumber than I thought he was. He lied to God. He said, I don't know where he's at. He said, I'm not my brother's keeper. And the Lord said unto Cain, where's thy brother? Well, I don't know whether Cain knew it or not, or whether Cain cared or not, or whether Cain realized it or not, but God knew it. God saw it. He wasn't oblivious to what was going on. Look in Psalms 44. Y'all know this, but I want to look at a couple of scriptures. Psalms 44, and look at verse number 21. Psalms 44 and verse 21. Yeah. The Bible said, shall not God search this out, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart. You know, God knew in his heart, he knew in Cain's heart what he was going to do. And God saw it. I don't know whether Cain thought he was getting away with it or not. Yeah. The Bible here says, shall not God search this out, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart. He knows what's going on. He ain't oblivious to what happens. Look at Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Psalms 139, let's look at verse number 1. Oh Lord, thou searchest me. David's writing this psalm. Oh Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Yeah. He knows every one of us exactly what we are, who we are, how we are, and what we do. He knows. David said, search me and know me. David said in verse 2, thou knowest my downsettings and mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. He sees our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He sees what we do. So if he thought he got away with something, he was sadly mistaken. God saw it all. Yeah. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. David said, he goes on to say, talks about God's power. Hey, God knows what he saw that. He saw exactly what happened and he wasn't getting away with a thing. Yeah. So the fifth thing we see he lied to God. Yeah. You know, I wonder how many times a lot of people lie to God. I wonder how many times we have saved people lie to God. We don't mean to sometimes. Yeah. Yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go on visitation if you want me to go. Yeah. I'm not throwing rocks. I'm just saying we. And a lot of times we don't do what God wants. We promise, hey, I'll do what, yeah, I'll go. And we don't go. Or I'll give and we don't give. Or I'll be faithful to this and we don't do it. Yeah. See, God sees all that. And that's a lot of times, that's what happens in our lives to save people. We don't do what we tell God we're going to do. If we don't do what we tell God we're going to do, it's a lie. I say we, I'm talking about me too. We need to be very, God said, if you're going to vow a vow, he said, I expect you to keep that vow. Yeah. He said, don't vow a vow and then not hold to it. See, when we tell God we're going to do something, we need to do it to the best of our ability. Or if we don't tell him and we're lying to him. I just throw that in. Make somebody mad. Yeah. But anyway, he lied to God and that was the wrong thing to do. And then the next thing, the sixth thing he did is, we find in verse number 10 through 12. The sixth thing he did, 10 through 12. Yeah. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Yeah. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand? When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. You know, we see here the sixth thing, he becomes a vagabond and a fugitive. See, he might have thought he's going to get away with something. You don't get away. God's always got his eyes on us, and he always knows how to get our attention and judge us. But he always warns, you look at the Bible, and he always warns before he judges. Countries, individuals, he warned Cain before he judged him. Cain wouldn't listen. What is a vagabond? Well, a vagabond's a fugitive. A vagabond's somebody that moves from place to place, having no settled habitation. A vagabond is somebody that flees or wondrous. In other words, a vagabond is just about somebody that's just about useless except wandering and doing nothing and amounting to nothing and not accomplishing anything. And that's what he was. He's a vagabond. Boy, I tell you what, I'd hate to think that God told me I was a vagabond. That's what he told him. He said, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. So from that time on, old Cain was on the run. Old Cain, he was a vagabond. Everywhere he went, he was a vagabond. Now I realize the world wasn't populated then, but no matter where he went, he was a vagabond. He went from one place to the other. He never had any settled place that he could go because he was on the run. He was fleeing all the time. He didn't have any settled habitation to go to. See, part of God's judgment. He told him, you're a vagabond from this day on. And from then down, he run. He didn't have no settled habitation anywhere. And everywhere he went, he had to go somewhere else. Now, I'd sure hate to think that God made me a vagabond. I'd hate to think that God said, all right, boy, you don't want to do what I say. I'm going to make you a vagabond. You on your own. And I'd have to go from here to there, and run to this one, run to that one, stay away from this one, flee from that one. He told him he was a vagabond. He said, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee. He said, you can till the ground, you can do all you want to, and it's not going to yield. In other words, you can get out there and you can work yourself to the bone. You can do everything you want to do, and that ground's not going to yield to you. Why? God's judgment on him. If he would have listened to God up there in the earlier verses, God would have forgave him, and he'd have been all right. But no, he wasn't going to do that. I think pride entered in there. And he wouldn't do it. He said, he didn't break down. He just stuck to what he wanted to do. Pride. That's another look at pride right there. And a lot of times, I hate to say it, but we, as Christians, sometimes we get kind of pride in our life for whatever the reason. I say we. I'm guilty too, maybe sometimes. Pride's a bad thing. God ain't pleased with pride. Now out there cursed the earth, and when her opened her mouth, received thy brother's blood in thy hand. So God said, you till the ground, it's not going to bring forth fruit, and there's strength, and a future and vagabond in the earth thou shalt be. That's what he told him. That was the sixth thing he said. But I want you to notice something else. Look in verses 13 through 15. Let's see what we see there. Verses 13 through 15. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. Now I want you to notice something right here. Cain said, Lord, you've driven me. He said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Well, he ought to have thought about that before he did what he did, before he rebelled against God. He should have thought about that. Thou hast driven me from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. Boy, I'd hate to think that God hid his face from me. I don't care what I done. I'd hate to think that. And I shall be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond. He's going to be on the run from then on. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. He said, now, if anybody finds me, they're going to kill me. That's what he was thinking. I'm on the run. I got to stay on the run. And anybody that finds me, they kill me. But I want you to look at verse 15 and see what you see here. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. I see God's mercy again. After all he'd done, after all Cain had done, all these things we've seen already, six things he'd done, God's, and we see it again in another verse here. We see God's mercy. Still had mercy on him. God's mercy is endless. God's mercy is everlasting. God's mercy never ends. God's mercy is fresh every day. God's mercy is enduring. God's mercy is great. God's mercy is perfect. And God's mercy will always be there for everybody. The Lord said unto him, whosoever saith Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. God put a mark on him. God said, anybody that kills Cain, I'm going to take him sevenfold. It's going to be seven times what he got. Sevenfold. I cannot imagine God's mercy being that great. But it is. His mercy is the same way with us today. I don't care how many times we mess up. I don't care how many times we fail him. I don't care how many times we do things we ought not do. I don't care how many times we don't do things we ought to do. He's always right there. If we repent from our hearts, he's always forgive us and show us mercy and not judgment. God's mercy is enduring. God's mercy is everlasting. His mercy is there forever and ever and ever. And after all Cain had done, killed his brother, refused to bring an offering, rebelled against God. God said, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Why only else I see in that mercy? And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. God said, I'm going to put a mark on you. If anybody finds you, if they don't kill you. See, God's still looking out for him. That's one thing I thank the Lord for is his mercy and grace. This old boy right here fails him. This old boy right here does things he ought not be doing. Or I do something I ought not do or don't do what I should do. His mercy is always there. His mercy is enduring. His mercy is unfailing. And his mercy is sure. No matter what. His mercy. So I see mercy here. And then the seventh thing I see was found in verse number 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Boy, ain't that a sad statement. Ain't that a sad statement. He went out from the presence of the Lord. Look over in Genesis chapter 3. He's the only one who tried to get away from God. Genesis chapter 3, and look at verse number 8. Of course, you know what happened. It's the temptation of Adam and Eve, and God found it. Look at verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam said to his wife, hide themselves, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. See, they thought they got away from him. We just read where God's eyes over in Proverbs said God's eyes run to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. And many scriptures said God's eyes are upon man. See, they thought they was getting away from God. They said, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord. They thought, we hid from God. He won't know where we at now. He won't know what we're doing. He won't be able to find us. David said, you can go where he said, David said, if I go to the bottom of the sea, he's there. If I descend into hell, he's there. If I ascend in the highest mountain, God's there. And we know it. You can't get away from God. You can't run from God. And neither can they. But they thought they was getting away. His wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God in amongst the trees of the garden. Well, we hid now. God don't see us. He won't find us. But look at verse number 9. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, Lord, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. See, God called him. He said, I know where you at. They thought they got out of the presence of God. And if they had, I don't know what they thought they'd have done. They might not realize that they needed God. And they thought they was getting out of the presence of God. Let's look at another dude here. Let's go to Jonah. Yeah, another very familiar scripture. Look at Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. I want you to watch what on that. Hey, you know these scriptures. Look what old Jonah done. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from what? The presence of the Lord. Let's go on. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now that's quickly. I'm going to hit on that and we're going to move on. First of all, Jonas rose up to flee from Tarshish to the presence of the Lord. Jonah thought, I'll just get on a ship and go somewhere and God won't find me. He wanted to get away from the presence of the Lord. Did he do it? Now watch out also, when he tried to get away from God, what did he do? He went down. Watch it. And he went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. To go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And then again, he thought, God ain't gonna find me in the bottom of this ship. He went down one more time? He went down into the depths of hell in the sea. He described that as hell. He went down the bottom of the sea. He didn't get away from God. He said, I'm in the presence of the Lord. And there's many other peoples in God's Word that thought they got away from God, but they didn't get away from Him. You can go all through the Word, and I could have used a lot more illustrations, but you don't get away from God. He knows where we're at. He sees us. He knows our thoughts. My wife don't know everything I think. My preacher don't know everything I think. Neither does your wife or your preacher know what all you think. But buddy, God knows. Yeah. So I'm going to tell you, old Cain messed up from the get-go all the way around. All right, let's go back to where we were at. Genesis chapter 4, I'm almost through. And Cain went from out of the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now ain't no bell rung, has it, Stanley?
Yeah, first one.
Oh, did it? I didn't even hear it. Okay, I'm about through anyway. So that right there was the seventh thing we find about Cain when he left the presence of God. I'd hate to think that. Let me quickly say this and we'll move on. The number seven, God created the earth in 6 days, and what, the seventh day He rested. And I could have went on with a lot of different scriptures. Turn over to Genesis chapter 12, and I'm through. I didn't even hear the bell. Genesis chapter 12, and I'm through. I guess I'm yelling so loud I can't. I want you to notice this. Seven things that God gave to or promised Abraham. Look at verse number 1. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will give thee. Seven things in verse 2 God promised him. Number 1, I will make of thee a great nation. Number 2, I will bless thee. Number 3, I will make thy name great. Number 4, thou shalt be a blessing. Number 5, I will bless them that bless thee. Number 6, and curse them that curses thee. And number 7, and thee shall all the family of the earth be blessed. Number 7. Seven things that God said to Cain. Father, thank you for this day and thank you, God, for the privilege, God, to be at church today. And I pray you bless the preacher. I pray, God, that you give him power to preach. And I will thank you and praise you for all you do. Bless these men and their families. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.